And we are welcoming you today to be a part of this class because of the things happening on earth that I think everyone needs to know about. I'm teaching Revelation chapter 6 today. And we've been talking about Revelation. I've been going verse by verse with this wonderful class of people. We're almost at 3,000 students, and we want you to be one of them. So I have two reasons why I'm doing this today in bringing all the platforms on. And this is free today. The, you know, students you are looking at behind me here each pay a fee every month. But, you know, today I just want to kind of give you a gift, all of you watching on different platforms. And then, and here's why. Number one, I want to share with all of you what the Lord has been showing me through the book of Revelation about the coming days. And we're talking about, like, you know, very close. We're talking, this could happen very, very quickly. And two, I want you to be a part of this school because I want you to be ready. I'm telling you, I want you all in the class, outside the class, to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Things are happening extremely fast out there today. So Father, we come in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I pray you be our teacher by your Holy Spirit, that every student and everyone watching on other platforms, Lord, will hear your voice today in the name of Jesus. And God's people said a mighty amen, amen. All right, now, Larry, I want you with me, if you don't mind, because I'm going to use your help a little bit in reading. And then Pastor Michelle, I'd like you to also join us. And dear Mary Burry, to also join us. Okay, so you can unmute yourselves, the three of you. And you're going to participate with me in this class with reading certain scriptures and so on. Now, we are looking at Revelation chapter 6. So I want you all with your Bibles in your here in class and also out of class. And let's begin to read here at verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Two things about this verse. Number one, thunder is always judgment. So this is not a scene of grace. This is a scene of judgment. Number two, the word see is not in the original. So what it really says is, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, judgment, one of the four beasts, living beings, saying, come. He was calling the horse riders to come. And then it says, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. There's a lot to talk about here when it comes to this horse rider. Number one, this is Antichrist. Why? Well, because it's quite clear that you see here that what follows him is not blessings. What follows him is war, and much more we're going to look at. So the rider cannot be the Lord because the Lord is the one, number one, opening the seals. Number two, this white horse is not to be confused with Revelation 19, which talks about the Lord coming on a white horse. And also, if I want to add, this is symbolic. This one part here in Revelation 6 is symbolic, while Revelation 19 is not symbolic. Revelation 19 will happen exactly as it states. But here we have a picture of a man coming, basically declaring himself to be a man of peace. That's what the white horse is all about. So the white horse here showing very, very clearly he's coming as a deceiver. He's coming to bring false peace on earth. Let me add one more thing about it. The Bible says that Jesus has conquered already. This man here, it says, he went forth conquering and to conquer. He came to conquer. The Lord Jesus already has conquered. So there's a big difference between the Lord himself, who said it is finished on the cross. He has conquered. In fact, what did he say? All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. That's what he said in Matthew. So it could not be the same, you know, a lot of, you know, I've heard actually preachers and prophecy teachers teach that this is the Lord. There's no way. This cannot be the Lord. This is Antichrist. And they, of course, use because of the white horse. But you have to look at something very, very important. Here's what it says. Now, I'm going to read this again. And I saw, verse 2, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Had what? A bow. A bow is always in the hand of a wicked man, never in the hand of a righteous man. Psalm 11, verse 2. It says, the wicked bend their bow. You want to go to that, please, Larry, on quickly in your Bible. Make sure you keep your mic on so we can hear you, dear Larry, Mariello, and Pastor Michelle also, and dear Mary. So, all right. So go ahead, Larry, and read for me Psalm 11, verse 2, where we see one of many scriptures that clearly state a bow is in the hand of a wicked man, and the Lord never came, we never see him with a bow, always with a sword. Go ahead, please, Larry.
For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart.
All right. So a man with a bow is a wicked man. So often people miss these little details in this verse. White horse, deception, bow, wicked man. He came to conquer when Jesus already has conquered. Now, there's also some other things I want to just talk about here that are very, very important. Now, what we see in verse 2 is a fulfillment of Daniel 7, verse 8, Daniel 7, 24 through 26, and also Daniel 8, 8 to 10, Daniel 8, 20 to 25. We're going to read those for you. So, Larry, you're going to read for me Daniel 7, 8. Pastor Michelle will read for me Daniel 7, verse 24, 25, 26. And then dear Mary is going to read for me Daniel 8, verse 8, 9, 10. And I will read Daniel 8, 20 through 25. Pay attention now as he reads what it says about this man, Antichrist, who's about to be revealed to the world. This could happen, like I said, very soon, because the rapture could happen anytime. So let's go, all of us together, and all of you in your homes. And by the way, today's session, most times when I'm with you live daily, I'm on for only half an hour. Today we're going to go a little longer with you. So let's see what happens. So Daniel 7, and you're going to read verse 8 for us, please, dear Larry. Go ahead.
I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things.
Now, notice you compare this with Revelation 6. So here he comes conquering and to conquer, meaning he has been given the authority by the world to conquer. Why? Because it says he will prove himself to be a strong leader. And here's what it says. It says that, behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking what? Great things. So by his speeches, like Hitler of old, he won the attention of the globe. All right. Now, let's look at verse 24, 25, 26. Pastor Michelle, same chapter, please.
Okay, yes. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end.
All right, let's go back to verse 24. It says, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. These 10 kings are 10 divisions already divided by the United Nations of the whole earth. They are not 10 nations in Europe, as we thought years ago. They are the 10 divisions on the world, of the world today, which have been established already by the UN. It says, another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first. The first, again, Holland, Belgium, Luxembourg. Luxembourg is the smallest nation on earth, by the way, and very influential and very powerful, where the European Parliament is at this point. These three nations he will subdue, it says. He will remove them from power. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings, meaning the first three kings that established the union that now is the 10 divisions of the UN in 1948. A very interesting just little note here. 1948 was an amazing year of prophecy. Not only was Israel restored, it was the beginning of the last days and the establishment of the EU and the union we are looking at today through the UN. Amazing, amazing year it was. Now, he shall speak great things against the Most High, meaning the Lord himself, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, the Jewish people, and many who will be saved during the tribulation, and think to change times and laws, which he will. He will even change the calendar to go back to his birth rather than the Lord's birth. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times, dividing of times, meaning 7 years that will be divided into two sections. And then it says, but the judgment, meaning the Lord God himself, will sit to judge Antichrist, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now let's go to Daniel 8:8-10, and dear Marie is going to read that for us. Go ahead, dear, please.
Yes, Pastor. Therefore, the good waxed very great, and when it was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up for notable one towards the four winds of heaven.
Yeah.
And out of one of them came for a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south, and towards the east, and towards the pleasant land. And it was waxed great, even to the hosts of heaven, and he cast down some of the hosts and of the star of the ground and stepped upon them.
All right, let me reread that because your mic is not clear. It says, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, that's Greece. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, Alexander the Great. And for it came up four notable ones, four divisions of Alexander's domain, toward the four winds of heaven, the globe. And out of one of them, out of one of these horns that broke off from Alexander the Great, out of them, it says, came forth a little horn, Antichrist, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land Israel. So here we see that his domain begins to expand. He comes out of Syria. I've told you already, many of you in the class, I'm going to say to all of you watching on social media, he will be presented through Rome. So he is a European. But he will solve the problems in Syria. And that's why he will proceed. He will be revealed through his dealings in Syria. Pay attention to that. And that's why it says that he will proceed. Please hear that one more time. And out of one of them, one of the little horns, Alexander the Great's dominion, he died. He was an alcoholic and died when he was in his early 30s. It was split into four divisions. One division was Greece and Turkey. The second division was Syria and that part of the world, and then Egypt and so on. But one of them, it says, out of one of them, which is the northern kingdom, Syria, comes the Antichrist. But he comes not as a Syrian Arab or as a Muslim, as some people believe. No, he's a European. And frankly, a Jewish man. I'll prove that to you from the Bible later. because it says he will deny the God of his fathers in the Bible. Well, the God of his fathers means he's a Jewish man with tremendous intelligence. Now, then it says something else, that he will also invade the pleasant land, Israel. Look at verse 10. And it, meaning Antichrist, waxed great, even to the host of heaven, meaning the Lord himself. He began to oppose the Lord's domain and authority. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground. The host, the Jewish people who will be saved during that tribulation. The stars, Christians who will be, or people who will be saved during the tribulation. So the host, it speaks of the Jews. The stars, it speaks of the Gentiles who will be born again and martyred, all of them, by the way, which I'll show you again, and stamped upon them. For a short season, he will have victory, but it will not last long. Now, if we go to verse 20 of this same chapter, watch what it says, which will confirm what I just gave you. I hope I'm not going too fast for you, but how many are still with me? Wave at me. All right. See, the Bible is intriguing if you really study it. I want to help you today to capture it. It says, the ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of the Medes and Persia. Daniel had a vision. And he saw, first of all, a ram coming from the east to the west, the Medes and Persians, with the two horns. And then he saw what? A rough goat. Goat is Greece. Do you know that the symbol of Greece is a goat to this day? Isn't that amazing? Chad, isn't that amazing to you? You bet. And the rough goat is the king of Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Who's that? Alexander the Great. All right? Now, that being broken, meaning Alexander died at an early age, whereas four stood up for it. It was four generals that took over from Alexander. And it's all in the Bible. I'm giving you history that already took place, recorded in Scripture. How anyone can deny the Bible is beyond me. Anyways, let me reread verse 22. Not that being broken, meaning Alexander dying, whereas four stood up. I want to shout right now, don't you? Just to see the accuracy of God's word is like beyond me. Yeah, hallelujah. I'm sorry I had to do that. Four kingdoms will stand up out of the nation, but not in his power, meaning the four generals that took over his kingdom, which is already history, it's already happened, will take over the kingdom of Greece, but not by their power. It will be power given to them by Alexander, who is already dead. And it says this, this is very important. And in the latter time of their kingdom, the latter time is now, when the transgressors are come to the full. So we're talking about hundreds of years later, and now we are seeing what's going on in Egypt, in Turkey, in Greece, in Syria, in that part of the world, and so on. It says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, and by the way, I'm not really right now teaching on the four divisions of Alexander. Maybe you know, some other day I will. Right now, I just want to give you what we're just dealing with. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, meaning the whole world now is like Sodom and Gomorrah, a king of fierce countenance, Antichrist, and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Antichrist will come on the scene when the transgressions of the world have come to a full place, like at on the brim, you know. No, it's like there's no more space for wickedness. It's gone way beyond anything in history. Verse 24, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, meaning satanic power that will be given to him. He shall destroy wonderfully, will prosper and practice, and will destroy the mighty and holy people, Israel. He will go after the Jews. Here called mighty and holy people, because they are God's people. And through his policy also, he shall cause the craft to prosper. The word craft here means through deceit, he will, and through witchcraft, He will cause the economies of the world to prosper. He will be the first man after Hitler to use witchcraft to bring prosperity to the world. Amazing, huh? In his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, false peace, shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes, the Lord Jesus, when he returns, but he shall be broken without hand. Wow. So, I just gave you a lot of headlines. How many are enjoying this? Just wave at me. Yeah. Giving a lot of headlines about Antichrist, what the Bible says about him. So it's clear, very, now let's go back. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 6. Hallelujah. Okay, back to verse 2 of Revelation 6. Now, it's clear that this rider will cause war, famine, pestilence, death, and so on. He cannot be the Lord Jesus. And everything I just showed you from Daniel, again, proves my point. So, the Antichrist is the only one in Scripture we see the word, he came to conquer. To conquer. And who it is? Who is it? Antichrist. So, but he will come to conquer because the world will accept him as a false Messiah. Israel will accept him as a false Messiah. That he will also conquer the Jewish hearts. That they will believe he is really one who's going to save them from harm and destruction. All right. I don't know why the screen is changing here. Maybe you know what's going on. All right, keep going. Now, let's go to Matthew 24. And this fits in with what the Lord said would happen. In Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5, it talks about something very important. It says, and Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Stop right there. Stop right there. What is the first thing the Antichrist will do when he appears? Deceive the world. What is the first thing Jesus said? Don't let no man deceive you. And that word man is singular. People don't realize he's not talking about men, plural. He's about one man. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. That already has happened in history. But the warning in verse 4 is not just about men like M-E-N. It's also about the man, Antichrist, who will come to deceive. So, let's go to John 5:43. In John 5:43, we have something amazing prophesied by the Lord Jesus that is going to happen with Israel. He says this in John 5:43. That's the Lord speaking. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If any other Antichrist shall come in his own name, him you will receive. So the Lord prophesied in this verse that the nation of Israel, who rejected him 2,000 years ago, will accept Antichrist as their Messiah in the beginning, but he will be a false Christ. Amazing, huh? See, often you read this, we read like the Gospels, and we don't pay attention to how much the Lord is giving us, and the Word of God is giving us about the future. So he says, you rejected me, and I came in my Father's name, but another will come in his own name, declaring himself to be God. That's what his own name means, by the way. And you'll accept him as Messiah. We see the same thing in Daniel 9:27. Larry, go to Daniel 9:27 and read that for us really quickly, please. Daniel 9:27. Notice what it says in the book of Daniel about that same subject. That he will convince Israel to trust him for their protection. All right, read for me Daniel 9:27.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
All right, now let's stop here. Let's stop here, Larry. He will confirm the covenant with the nations for 7 years, and then halfway, he will break his covenant with Israel. He shall cause the sacrifice to cease, because before that, he will help them build the temple. The temple will be built with the help and money from Antichrist, believe it or not. Later, he will sit in it and declare himself God. All right? So reread that verse with what I just said, and then I'll explain a little more. So reread that whole verse 27.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that the determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Now, what it means is, once he sits in the temple, desolation will fall on him and the whole globe. Destruction will fall. That's when the great tribulation begins. Now, remember that what we call the 7 year, the first 3.5 years are called tribulation. The last 3.5, great tribulation. There will be an intensity of wrath on humanity. It will be very, very frightening. And that's why the Lord said, no days like it have ever been, will ever come that way again. Now, let's go back to Revelation 6, and let's look at the second seal in verse 3. So I just covered the first seal, Antichrist, and explained that as best as I could. Let's go now to the second seal. And when he had opened the second seal, and by the way, I'm very happy you sweet people on all other platforms are a part of this today. And I pray this is blessing you too. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come. Remember that word C-S-E-E is not in the original. So here we see one of the living creatures calling the horse rider to come. And it says, and there went out another horse that was red. Power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, this is extremely important to look at. The red horse rider is pictured here having a great sword. Now, let's just reread that verse, because I think it's important to see this one part, I should say. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Power given to him by who? Satan the devil. And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. By who? The enemy. So now, Satan, through the nations, gives him the authority to declare war. And gives him the authority to cause death throughout the earth. Now that is going to happen, in my opinion, right after he takes over the temple. 3.5 years have passed by. 3.5 years of prosperity. 3.5 years of false peace. 3.5 years of helping Israel build the temple, deceiving the world as though he's some great man. And now, wham, when they say peace, peace, sudden destruction happens. Now, here it says something extremely important. It says, not only will he take peace from the whole earth, so the entire globe now will be engulfed in war, but he will cause murder, wars, and bloodshed. He will make it legal. Hear me out. He will make it legal that people should kill in his name anyone who does not worship him and serve him. It will be pure lawlessness. Pure lawlessness. So, when it says, and there was given unto him a great sword, it means freedom to murder. That's why the great tribulation will have no order whatsoever. think about people who follow the Antichrist will have authority given by him to kill anyone who does not follow him. No courts, no court system. It says earlier he will change times. He will change the things, the way the world runs today in order. All that will be gone. Complete lawlessness. Complete, I think there's a word for it, isn't it? Like, you know, anarchy? Yeah. So think about that. So now, this is the direct result of the words that we just read earlier, conquering and to conquer. All right. Let's go to Daniel 7, one more time. The book of Daniel and Revelation are twins, by the way. In Daniel 7, we're going to read verse 24. And it says this, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be diverse from the first. Watch this. He shall subdue. He will overcome the three nations, three kings that establish the system that is going on today. That will be through war. How will he subdue? Through war. And then if you look at Daniel 11, verse 40 through 45, we see some amazing truth given to us about the way he will operate. So I'm going to read Daniel 11, verse 40 through 45. I know that's a lot of information I'm giving you, especially you sweet people watching me on social media, because you know, daily I give you good milk, but this is meat. That's why I want you to join this school. So I'm doing this because these things are about to come upon us all. At the same time, I'm praying God will speak to you about joining and becoming a part of BHI to get this kind of information. So every day I give you good milk. I don't call it meat, just good milk. This is meat stuff. We need it. And the people said amen. Let me see a big wave for an amen. All right, great. Now, let's look at verse 40, Daniel 11. At the time of the end, this is the time of the end now, this is the war I'm talking about that's going to happen. Shall the king of the south, Africa, push at him? The African nations will reject his authority. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. Who's the king of the north at that time? Eastern Europe, Russia, and other nations. With chariots, horsemen, with many ships. And then it says, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over, meaning he'll defeat them. They will resist his rule. A war will break out that we just saw in Revelation 6. That's the red horse. But then the war begins how? When Africa resists his authority. Thank God for Africa. Africa will say, no, we are not going to bow to your demands. Because he'll declare himself to be God. The African people are extremely religious even to this day. Even those who are not Christians. But he will be rejected by Africa first. He'll be rejected by Eastern Europe and probably parts of Russia, Ukraine, all that. And then it says this in verse 41. He shall enter also into the glorious land, Israel. Many countries will be overthrown. That's the war we just saw earlier in the Red Horse. But these shall escape out of his hand. Amazingly, Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon, the only nation, Chariot, I really like this one, the only nation that will not come under his domain will be Jordan, only. Yay for the Jordanians. Did you hear? Because he's from Jordan. Now, why will God spare Jordan? Because Isaiah 16 says that the Jews will escape to Jordan for protection from Antichrist. Amazing, huh? To a place called Selah. We'll talk about that later. This is the most revealing part of the Bible in Isaiah 16. So they will escape. So he will conquer Africa, North Africa, all of Africa, Europe, even Israel. But he will not conquer Jordan. Wow. So Winston Churchill knew what he was doing when he divided Palestine years ago, because Palestine was Israel and Jordan. And the British divided both nations into Transjordan and Palestine at the time. And today, it will fulfill prophecy. What a God we serve. And then it says here in verse 42, and he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape. So here we see North Africa and on. And he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east, out of the north, shall trouble him. That's China and other countries. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. So here, what are we seeing in this part? A global war arising, trying to oppose his domain, but he will win. Then it says, and he will plant, watch this verse 45. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. He will build his authority and throne will be from Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end when the Lord returns and none shall help him. Now let's go back to Revelation 6 and let's continue with the third seal. I hope you sweet people are enjoying all this. Okay, how many are learning still? Wave at me. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now we're not going to be too long, but I want to just, you know, to take you through some amazing information here. All right, now, third seal is verse 5 and 6. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast or living creature say, come. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure. Now pay attention to these words because I'm going to explain something to you. A measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Amazing truth here that people miss. Why? All right, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 4 to explain this part. Ezekiel chapter 4. And I'm going to have dear Larry, actually Pastor Michelle, because Pastor Michelle has a much better microphone, I think, than any of you guys. So Ezekiel 4, dear Pastor Michelle, and we're going to read verse 10 right through verse 17. Now, notice what it says as Michelle reads, Pastor Michelle reads. Watch, because we just said what? A measure. Watch what it says here. All right. Would you please read verse 10 to 17, please, Pastor Michelle? Ezekiel
okay, yes,
4.
Pastor. Okay. And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, the sixth part of an hin, from time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes. And thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of man in their sight. And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted. For from my youth up even till now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment. that they may want bread and water and be astonied one with another and consume away from their iniquity.
Now, this was an amazing prophecy given to Ezekiel about the Jewish people before they went to Babylon when the Babylonians besieged Jerusalem. But there's a lot of information here about the coming days. Why? Well, let's go back for just a moment to Matthew chapter 20. I'm gonna give it to you quickly here, but you've got to see the connections between those portions. So Matthew 20, verse 1 and verse 2. Notice what it says earlier. Now, you may want to go back to Ezekiel to see about what God said to Ezekiel about what each measure means. But look what the Lord here said in Matthew 20, verse 1 and 2. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when it agreed with the laborers for what? A penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Stop right there. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 6. I'm going to tie it all up for you. Very important information. It says, he saw a black horse. Now watch what it says in verse 6 of Revelation 6. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, see thou not heard the oil and the wine. What does this all mean? Well, let me explain. A penny in those days was the salary for a whole day of work. Where do we get that from? Matthew 20. Verse 1, verse 2, he gave them a penny for a day's wage. All right? Now, a penny, or a denarius called in those days, would buy, at the time of Ezekiel, would buy 8 measures of wheat. 1 penny. 8 measures of wheat. It would buy 24 measures of barley. So in good times, Ezekiel, you have to go back and compare them, okay? So when Ezekiel was on earth, a penny would buy what? 8 measures of wheat, 24 measures of barley for a penny. What do we see here? We see that during the reign of Antichrist, it will be 8 times more expensive to live than in the days of Ezekiel. Meaning that they cannot buy as much anymore in the future. So we go back to this, a measure of wheat for 1 penny. 1 measure of wheat. What was it back then? 8 measures of wheat. 3 measures of barley for a penny. What was it back then? 24 measures. But it says, see thou not heard the oil and the wine. Why? Well, because grapes and an oil, the olive tree does not need cultivation. Or the vine doesn't need cultivation. It just keeps producing. Olive trees to this day, they're 3,000 years old. You know, they still have olives on them in the right season. So olive trees and vine trees need no cultivation. That's why he says, don't hurt the olive, don't hurt the vine. Leave them alone because they don't need to be cultivated. Meaning why? Why is that? Would you like to know why there, Chad? Yes, because there won't be people cultivating because of the war. Nobody's plowing, nobody's sowing, nobody's reaping the harvest. The harvest of the olive tree falls by itself. And the grapes by themselves. Nobody's doing a thing with them. But because of the war we just saw earlier, now there's famine because not many people are you know, on their farms. People are in wars. People are fighting for the Antichrist or against him. That's what it means here. A famine because of the lack of men to sow, a lack of men to reap the harvest. Now let's go back to Revelation 6. Are you learning anything, you sweet people of God over there? I love it. You too in on other platforms. All right, let's look at the fourth seal. We're going to look at verse 7 and 8. When it opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come. And I looked and behold, a pale horse. His name that sat on him was death and hell. Followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. So in that war, that the first war that breaks out will kill what? One more time. Fourth part of the earth will die. The minute Antichrist declares himself as God, one fourth of humanity is dead by the war we just saw earlier, to kill with sword, hunger, death, and the beasts of the earth. According to Ezekiel 14:21, every time you see, and you can write this down for yourself, every time you see those things, you always see animals eating the flesh of the dead. Whenever wars like this break out, according to Ezekiel 14:21, that's why it says the beasts of the earth, animals will be there eating the dead. Let's go to the fifth seal, which is intriguing right now. So we see now the result of the appearance of Antichrist, white horse, deceiver, all that, the war, the famine, now death, one fourth of humanity dead with the war and the famines. Now we go to something very amazing to me. At verse 9, we read, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony of, and for the testimony which they held. Now, all of you on social media, I'm about to say goodbye to you and stay with my class, but not yet. Okay. Just a little bit more, a few more minutes, and then I'll say bye to you and pray with you, because this is important that you understand what's coming. And they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. It was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, very important I talk about this here. John saw souls martyred under the golden altar of incense. He saw them. Now, according to Revelation 8, 3, 4, and 5, we're going to look very quickly at this altar. The altar of incense becomes the altar of judgment during the Great Tribulation. How? Ooh, this is incredible. Lift your hands and pray for a second. I want God to show this to you. Lord, in Jesus' name, show them what I'm about to show them. Show them what they're about to hear. In Jesus' name. Larry, keep your mic on. Pastor Michelle, get your mic on. Read for me Revelation 8, 3, 4, 5. Larry. And then Revelation 9, 13, Pastor Michelle. Notice the mention of the altar. The altar of worship becomes the altar of judgment as a result of what? Let's read one more time. Let's go now to Revelation 8. But notice what I said. What does he see? He sees these saints under the altar. Who are they? The saints are the tribulation believers who will miss the rapture and be killed by Antichrist. Everyone who misses the rapture will be a martyr during the Great Tribulation. Every one of them. So my point is, don't miss the rapture. Okay?
Amen.
Because believers who miss the rapture will be killed by Antichrist. Now, read for me Revelation 8, 3, 4, 5. Larry.
And another angel came and stood at the altar.
At the altar. What altar? The altar, the same one we just seen before, the altar of incense, the golden altar. The golden altar is the altar of incense, which speaks of worship, our prayer life. Where was the Well, keep reading. It's all there. Go ahead, Levi. Having a golden censer, keep going.
And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne.
Right through verse 5. Yeah, go ahead.
And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake.
Judgment, judgment. So the altar of worship now becomes the door to judging the wicked. Here's what I'm talking about. Our worship one day and our prayers one day will be used as the avenue that God will use to judge the world. Every time we worship, I know this is new to many of you, every time we pray and worship, we literally deposit judgment into that altar for the wicked one day. Our worship presents us before God and we receive his blessings. Our worship becomes a weapon against the wicked during the Great Tribulation. Isn't that amazing to you? And you see that altar mentioned in Revelation 9:13. Let me read that to you quickly. I'm going to give it to you real fast, and I'm going to say bye to all those watching. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of what? The golden altar. Revelation 14:18, same thing. Revelation 16:7, same thing. We see that altar is used to judge.